And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with the computer comments, questions, and concerns you guys might have. And we are also winners for the second time of a gold.com award.
Wow, that's very nice.
It's pretty cool. So somebody likes what we're doing. And we're here to help you guys out until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here till 11, like I said. And thanks to GoNetSpeed, commercial free. So we have a lot more time to work with you guys and help you with your issues and talk about things more in depth. So that's pretty awesome. And also at 10:05, we're going to have Kyle Allspach from the Channel Company. Basically, it's a magazine of record, quote unquote, for our industry. CRN's been around for about 50 years, and he'll be talking about the CrowdStrike debacle. And his headline is CrowdStrike isn't the only one to blame here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we agree. So we'll chat with Kyle about his article and what he's thinking about here. But we totally agree. So get on your line when you get a chance. But as usual and customary, we have our technology news you can use. So where do you want to start there, Dennis?
Well, we have a story about a cybersecurity company.
Yes.
They specialize in security awareness programs, among other things.
They do.
And it turns out that they hired a North Korean hacker as a remote employee.
You can't make it up.
And this hacker used all kinds of tools to get himself in the door.
Yes. And some deep fake videos.
Oh yeah, the story is a little bit involved, but the bottom line is that a security company, which is supposed to be at least theoretically good at filtering this stuff out and recognizing it for what it is, hired him anyway.
Right.
And he got through the vetting process successfully.
Ironically, the company is called Know Before.
Right.
And they didn't know before they hired the North Korean. I mean, you can't make it up. I wish I was. We're not making it up.
No, we're not.
And they got, you know, they're pretty embarrassed. They've got some egg on their face, as it were, they said. And, you know, you got to make sure when you send your Apple laptop, you're not sending it to a hacker, because instantly when the guy got his Apple laptop from Know Before, he instantly started loading malware on the network.
Right. And apparently it was at some point that they picked up on the malware.
Right. They didn't pick up on him.
Right. And it was only after one assumes that the malware had actually had to be active at some point in order to trigger the effects that they then later detected.
Right.
So who knows what was going on up until that point?
Well, they say they only give new employees limited access so that the new hire onboarding process and training with access only necessary apps. So, you know, email, Slack, and Zoom. This means that this person never had any access to customer data, they say, cloud infrastructure or code, or any confidential information. I guess I'll believe you.
Well, maybe.
if you say so. So the key here is, you know, when you're sending a laptop, make sure they're going to change some of their requirements when they send laptops to people they haven't met in person. They're going to now ship them and require that the person present an ID that matches what they think the person looks like. Because, of course, the picture the guy was using just looks like a regular American dude, and it, you know, he's a North Korean hacker.
You're right.
We're laughing, but we're really crying inside, right? I mean, security firm. This is, again, cybersecurity firm. Who brought us all down last Friday? A cybersecurity firm. Now, the fact, I mean, obviously, poor Stu, the CEO of this company, had to kind of come clean with this whole thing, and he's got a whole story about it, but Know Before didn't know they were hiring a North Korea. not good, guys. I mean, it's where are we? What are we doing here? So we'll put the link up here. You can read. There's a couple of articles out there. One's by Dark Reading. And do you have another one probably?
Oh, I've got one from PC Magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just ugly. It's just ugly. And we've got to do better. We've got to do better. And we're just a mess. I don't have an article per se about this, but I heard that our our transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, Pothole Pete, as it were, is going to be investigating Delta, right? And you even hear Blumenthal screaming about Delta, right? And it's kind of ironic. A buddy of mine's a pilot, and I had met up with him at the old Leslie's Pool Supply a couple weeks ago, and I gave him the story of our fiasco in Punta Cana dealing with Southwest trying to get us on the plane. It took 2.5 hours, and I commented to my buddy. I said, hey, Delta's really moving that line. And he goes, well, you get what you pay for. And then you look at where they are now.
No, yeah, no.
I'm like, I guess you do, huh? So, you know, you look at those airlines, and they're charging double, you know, a fare that you would find through Southwest to go to the same place. And yet you were down for a long time, Delta.
Apparently, they've still got a lot of trouble that they just have not resolved. And, you know, how long does this have to go on before you finally get your hands on all these computers and fix them?
Right.
And clearly, they had no plan for being able to do anything like that.
That's the key, right? So you need a disaster recovery plan if you care about your customers, or you care about your brand, or you care about having Pete Buttigieg breathing down your neck.
I mean, they must have had all kinds of things that were not working for them.
Right. And so, obviously, all on the Microsoft operating system.
Right.
Now, we've been running this show for almost 30 years now, and if you've heard a single show, you would know that we would tell you that you might have a problem with Microsoft at some point. And if you run everything, Delta, on Microsoft, and you didn't do a disaster recovery where everything is down, I don't even know why you wouldn't have thought of that. The fact that you haven't thought of it is breathtaking. Whoever your CISO is, I don't know. You may want to talk to that guy because they clearly thought their stuff was in order, and obviously it wasn't, right?
Right.
How many obvious times do we need for these companies to not prepare for an outage like this? I mean, even airlines, even the airports, you know, with power outages, can't recover because they don't have any battery backups. They don't have any methods of getting the data back online. They're down for hours. You know, don't even know where your luggage is because all the belts aren't labeled anymore because everything's electronic. You got to have some sort of disaster recovery. And if you're running Microsoft operating system, clearly it should be the top of mind. You were going to have an update. Not in this case, it was from CrowdStrike.
Right.
But Microsoft themselves have done updates that damage their own operating systems.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Damage the operating system. They've had antivirus definitions that have actually taken out their own operating system.
Right.
I mean, whoa.
What are you thinking? So, I mean, there used to be operating systems, especially from Microsoft, where you could actually tell it not to update. Usually mm-hmm. they were the enterprise flavors of the OS.
Right.
And enterprises would say to the OS, you are not updating. This is a working version of the system. Please don't update.
Right. You could establish a baseline version of Windows that would then be distributed across your company, and it would stay that way until you do something to make it different.
Right. And again, the reason they did that was because when the updates happened, it broke stuff all the time, right?
Right.
I mean, we used to tell people in the early days of this program, if it's not broken, don't update. We really did.
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
Now you're connected to the cloud, and you have to be up to date because of all the threats that are attacking you, because of all the zero-day exploits that are on the operating system that Microsoft isn't aware of.
Right.
So it's like it's a catch-22. Now you have to update because of what the bad guys are banging on the operating system to try to find out a way in.
Right.
But you used to say to yourself, I'm not updating this because Microsoft will blow up my system.
Right.
So what do you do? Well, I can tell you the answer to what you do is a different operating system.
Well, you can do that, but then other operating systems can update and break too.
They can.
They can.
You got to diversify your risk.
Right.
You can't have everything run on one operating system.
Uh-huh.
I mean, clearly Delta did that. Somebody said, you know what? Let's just do everything on Microsoft. And they're like, okay.
Because why not, right?
Well, right. Because why not?
Just go ahead.
And if you think of this, the airline, I mean, lots of systems were down that day on Friday, but banking and payment systems and all sorts of stuff. I mean, Brian, here on the morning program here, Brian and company was saying he couldn't get to his bank, right? I mean, banks had issues too. That's not a good feeling. You need to be able to have systems that are redundant, right? Some sort of backup. And then you're going to say, well, Eric, now it costs twice as much. Well, I'm sorry. You chose to be computerized. I didn't tell you to do that. So since you're going to go that way, you need a way to actually have secondary systems, you know, so that the systems that you have that are down can then be flexible and migrate to the other system as your quote-unquote disaster recovery method. And clearly that's not the case in Delta's case. So Pete Buttigieg is going to give you tell you what how there, what you're going to do there. Good for, you know, the guy can't figure out half the stuff that he's talking about. Now we're going to have to deal with Microsoft, so we'll see how that goes. But it's clearly an issue that these guys got to take care of. They have to be testing your systems, do a disaster recovery. I can guarantee you, I mean, this is not a hard prediction. Microsoft will do an update that happened just like CrowdStrike, and instead of 1% of the systems going down, it'll be 20% or 40%.
Right.
Guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Something massive. Or it'll be, well, we already saw 365 went down that morning as well. Big aspects of the 365 network was down that same morning because of an update they did.
Yes. That's right. Oh, yeah.
So it's not hard for me to predict this. I'm not the sharpest tack. I'm really not. All right. In other news, model collapse.
What?
What model am I talking about? Is it the model airplane I built when I was 12? No.
Oh.
Scientists warn against letting AI models look at their own output to produce answers.
What?
It's an issue. This is a thing. These AI models are looking at their own generated output and producing poorer and poorer results.
Oh, wait. What you're telling me is AI models are based on originally all human input or human developed input.
And the key to that word is original.
Right. Then later on, as there's AI developed stuff out there to be scraped, it's scraping up that.
Yeah.
So it's generating more AI stuff that is now veering away from anything that's useful or valid. Right. And then it scrapes again, and now it's scraping an even greater proportion of AI stuff.
Yep. Because it gets worse and worse.
Even worse stuff to add to that. And then it'll scrape again. It sounds like a cascading effect.
And so you would think, right, artificial intelligence, some smart programmers made sure that they wouldn't do that. But no, they didn't.
They don't filter out AI when they scrape?
Nope. They're supposed to be putting, there's ways around it by putting watermarks on the AI-generated data so that it helps other AIs avoid it. But this is other AIs, too. So you could have your AI that you use, but
your AI is maybe smart enough to ignore its own AI output, but it's not smart enough to know to ignore maybe yours.
Right. So they did an example of just, you know, one of the biggest issues with AI, especially in graphics, is it can pretty much do it all for you. It can be an artist for you. So they did an example here where you're trying to do just a picture of dog breeds. And the first real images come up, and you get like all these great dog breeds, the Petite Basset Griffon, and the French Bulldog, and the Dalmatian, and a couple of Golden Retrievers show up as far as doing a picture of dog breeds. Then you do it again, the AI reads it all and says, I see a higher preponderance of Golden Labs. Now you're down to all of the six images, four of them are Golden Labs, right? And you have a Dalmatian in there and another Petite Basset Griffon. Then you run it again, and it's all Golden Labs. You know, what does a dog look like? It's all Golden Labs. And you run it again, and the AI doesn't even know what a dog looks like because it just keeps eating and eating and feeding on itself. So this whole jump to AI, we were all hoping it, you know, was going to make an improvement on the planet. They haven't even figured out how to not have it read its own junk, right? Read its own garbage. We talked about even, what was it, Dennis? We talked about the hallucinations that AI has. Right, it comes out of whole cloth, makes up fake cases and stuff like that. Now those fake cases exist, and so the other AIs read about the fake cases. And
now they're going to be building their own hallucinations based on some other AI's hallucination. Oh, isn't this wonderful, Eric?
Yeah, something is amiss in this model. Now I wouldn't have guessed. This is a new study. These are new studies that have been put out, and we'll put the link out here for you. So if you started betting the farm on AI, and you know, this is kind of like .com bubble when it first came out. Everyone jumped and said, hey, the internet's going to be a thing. It is. But it really burst pretty fast as nothing really had taken hold. And even Amazon at that time wasn't making any money for multiple decades.
Yeah.
So this AI thing that everyone's all excited about may start eating its own like it's going to do here and put out really bad results. So if you're planning on being an AI attorney, you know, instead of actually practicing law, you're going to have the AI do it for you and write your contracts. You might find yourself out of work pretty quick. If you keep using the output that's coming out, I've been in multiple presentations of folks who are like, yeah, I've got my guy here. He's just graduated college. He now does all my contracts and he does all my accounting work and uses AI to do it. And I'm thinking, geez, a couple renditions into this, it's a couple months down the line, you're going to get some pretty garbage contracts.
Uh huh.
So
exactly.
I figured AI was smarter than that, but clearly not. So we'll put these links out here, and maybe we don't have to worry about being replaced by AI anytime soon. But what else you got going on, Dennis?
Well, let's talk about security issues being a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was developed, a dozen years ago was Secure Boot.
Yes, Secure Boot.
And it was a principle that manufacturers and the writers of firmware came up with in order to make sure that the firmware in a computer doesn't get tampered with and have malware loaded on it. Right.
Sounds like a good idea.
And what it did is it turned the firmware into a block of data that is then checked by a security key that can be compared with its public-private key, and you can do a comparison and you can know whether this block of data is valid or not if it passes this check.
Yep.
Well, it turns out sometime, 2018, 2017, something like that.
Yep. Pretty recently.
Somebody came up with a security key pair for this particular use, and it had a four-digit password.
Right.
Four characters or four digits, I think it's the story said.
Yeah,
so that would be
digits.
Just numbers.
Yeah.
So that means that it's trivial to break it.
Right.
Okay. You can take that key, you can hammer it against all 10,000 possibilities, and you'll find out what the password is.
Right.
And then quickly.
And then you can update the BIOS.
You can write your own BIOS and then get it loaded into computers, and bang, people have malware on their computers at the root level.
Right.
When the computer starts, which is the ultimate place for malware to run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that manufacturers have been using this particular security key for years in some cases.
Yeah, since 2012.
Yeah.
So you're looking at devices sold by Acer, Dell, Gigabyte, Intel, Supermicro, all have the 200 plus models are all compromised.
Right.
And again, it comes back down to the security company, the security experts using a four-digit key.
Right. And that's the thing that really rankles for me. I mean, how does somebody decide that a four-digit password is
character,
security?
Four
characters.
Yep.
All right. So we go from 10,000 to a larger number, but it's still less than 100,000.
Right.
And it's still going to be trivial to find a computer that can work that out.
And it went largely unnoticed until January of 2023.
Right.
It's a big problem. Again, another cybersecurity company doing a great job here for us. And
save us from the cybersecurity people.
I don't know about you, Dennis. I'm getting more and more embarrassed about the industry we're in. This whole show is kind of poking fun at Microsoft the whole time and dealing with, you know, what you see is what you get and plug and pray. And we would have those jokes in the song, Every OS Sucks.
Yeah.
But really, is it every OS sucks or does IT in general just suck? Because it looks like we are not getting smarter. We look like, just looking at last Friday, we are not getting better. We are getting stupider.
Yeah.
We are getting dumber. We are assuming.
Yes.
Delta assumed they're going to be fine running everything on Windows. Are you kidding me? Right? What are we doing? And you got people sitting in airports for days and days not getting anywhere, and they paid a premium for their flights. And Delta's like, I don't know where the flight is. I don't know when you're going to get on. How do you have systems like that?
It's insane. And when it comes to something like the Secure Boot protocol,
yep.
I mean, it's a great framework. I mean, right. A lot of work went into it. And if you do it right, it's fantastic.
Right.
But again, who came up with the idea of a four-character password?
Right.
I am not a computer scientist per se.
No.
But even I know better than that.
Who is running
this? Why didn't the guys who are the computer scientists who do that work for a living, why don't they know that?
Well, back in 2012, when they Googled it, it didn't give the best result. They're like, four is fine.
Well, at least back then they didn't get an AI result.
No. So, yeah, man, I mean, I'm starting to become embarrassed by my field. I mean, it used to, you know, we used to find, you know, used car salesmen and attorneys, you know, bankers, or like the most hated folks out there. Now it's IT guys.
I know.
And I agree with them. I started to agree with you guys. I mean, it used to be, the IT guys came to save the day. Now it's like, you're an IT guy? You're breaking everything. My refrigerator doesn't know what time it is anymore. You know, it takes a week to boot my TV. It is getting bad. We're not improving. And I thought we'd be much better off 25 years away from Y2K, and we're not. So we are worse off, you know, overlooking at all of us, you know, with like fire out in the backyard cooking our meat because we have no electricity or nothing because who knows how these systems are being run. So we're going to be here till 11, taking your Peter calls, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to start getting online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll post everything live. We're doing it right now. Dennis is posting it as quickly as he can over to computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, it's a little private group, but we'll let you in. You can go ahead and we're going to broadcast. I'm having a little issues with my OBS studio live feed because, of course, I updated it. I updated it. I'm like, I haven't updated it in about 4 or 5 months now. I probably should do that. You know, you think I'd learn my own lesson, you know, but no, I updated it. So now it doesn't work. So we'll try to get that online and you can watch the couple of pasty white computer geeks on our Facebook live broadcast. And Mike G will post everything over there too. He'll post everything over to the Facebook page and over on X. If you follow us over there at Tab Computer Sys, it will get into your news feed. There's no issues with Elon, thankfully. Only worry is with Facebook and Zuckerberg, and so far so good. There's nothing on here except, you know before may not be so happy, but at least they're the ones that talked about the issue they had with the North Koreans. I mean, you can't even make it up. North Koreans. Of all the bad guys, you're letting into your system the North Koreans?
Yeah.
It's nutty.
Oh, terrible.
What are we doing? What are we doing? So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And again, thanks to GoNetSpeed, we are commercial free. And that gives us a little more time with you to try to help you with your issues, get a little more in depth with your problems. And if you're a North Korean, well, I guess we're going to help you too.
Yeah, why not?
We'll be right back.
Are you tired of buffering videos and slow downloads? Say goodbye to frustration and hello to lightning-fast high-speed fiber internet from GoNetSpeed. At GoNetSpeed, we're on a mission to put slow internet to sleep for good. That's why we work so hard to give you the fastest, most reliable internet connection with speeds up to 2 gigabits per second. Along with our free router and installation, GoNetSpeed is the better choice for high-speed internet. Make the switch today. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk. Couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number if you would like to chat about anything IT related. Or if you'd like to figure out how to not be part of IT, we'll help you with the doomsday prepping. because that's where it feels like we have to be. So let's go on to your calls, though. First, we're going to go on to your calls in Cheryl and Prospect first. What's happening, Cheryl?
Okay. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I just recently purchased a new Mac computer and trying to put everything back in there with the bookmarks and everything else. That was a job in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But my big issue now is I want to move my music from my iPhone to my Mac because everything that was in my music app is gone except for the items that were purchased. And a lot of the stuff I have on my iPhone, you can't get anywhere else except from other sources than iTunes or Apple Music or whatever. I don't know how I can put the music on my iPhone back onto my computer or if I'm going to have to start from scratch and do everything individually.
Mm.
Well, Apple Mac OS has a way to do this.
Okay.
And I'm going to post an article that you can follow to do it. It requires that you connect your iPhone to the computer with a USB cable or
right.
USB-C. And it'll tell you how to do it. Because what'll happen is once you plug it in, the iPhone will show up as an object in Finder, which is the File Explorer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you can sync your music and move the files around.
Because what's funny is I put a cable into my iPhone and then connect it to the computer, and I hit where it says Cheryl's iPhone, everything shows up there. Believe it or not, all the songs that's on my iPhone.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, we agree. But you want to get it to your Mac.
I'm trying to get it to my Mac. No, I have a different. I have what they gave me a Lightning. Cable
mm-hmm.
when I got the new computer.
Yep.
And I know I have to charge my mouse and keyboard using the computer. So is that the one I should be using instead of the one that came with the iPhone?
Probably what came with the computer, right? To connect to get to the iPhone to the computer, you're going to use the Lightning cable.
Any cable that fits into the phone and fits into the computer is going to do it. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's it.
So either one then.
Because I know I have a couple of things that have cables that will not fit into the computer because there's no slot for that size cable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have two lightning rods and two other ones. So
you might have to get an adapter for the Mac to get the kind of port that's required.
Hmm.
Depending
on the age of her iPhone.
Yeah. How old is the iPhone, by the way?
I think it's going to be like a year.
Oh.
I think when I purchased it. It's about a year old.
Yeah, but it may still have the Lightning connector
mm-hmm.
instead of the USB-C.
Gotcha.
Because the Mac will have a USB-C. And
right.
if you had a iPhone with the USB-C connection, you just use a pass-through USB-C cable. You might have to get an adapter. We can find one of those and post a link to that. That should be able to get you to hook it up.
So once she sees the phone on her Mac, she'll then have to manually copy the music into the folder on the Mac? Or is there a tool that she can use, Dennis? Is it like the iTunes, you think, that she's going to be able to actually migrate that data over?
There's a setting, I believe, in Finder, in the object that is the iPhone there,
mm-hmm.
where you can just turn on syncing.
Oh, that's handy.
At least that's what it looks like to me.
Gotcha.
Just looking at this article that I found.
So that's the key for you there, Cheryl, is to do that. Because obviously she can't do it wirelessly because Apple is not allowing you to migrate your data that way for anything that wasn't purchased in the App Store. And that sounds about right, Dennis?
Yes.
Okay. That's similar with Amazon, too. I've got some MP3s that are on my phone locally that Amazon won't play because we didn't get it from Amazon. So is that going to help you at all?
I hope so.
Okay.
I'll see how that works. And the cable. So you're using the Lightning cable that came with my phone, with the computer.
If it works, if you plug it in and it connects and you see your iPhone show up on your Mac, then the answer is yes, if you see it in the Finder program.
Okay, I'll do have to go to Finder and do that.
All right.
All right, I'll give that a whirl, and I'll wait for the article to be posted.
Thank you very much. All right, Cheryl.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it seems like, again, that's getting harder, too. You know, only if you bought it within that ecosphere is it something will move. If you didn't buy it within the ecosphere, we're going to ignore you. So let's go to Jack in Glastonbury next. What's happening, Jack?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Crossfire and all of this business with software and hardware.
Crossfire or CrowdStrike?
I'm sorry, CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
Crossfire was that thing that happened down in Mexico, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. Anyway.
At the Alamo?
Yeah. No. I've been in this business. I've been retired for quite a while, but when I was in this business, it's sort of like being like the Martians versus the Americans or the United, the world. And the way the software works today and the hardware, it's totally different and it's totally unreliable from what we had. I used to be on these systems and they run for months and months. They'd never crash. They just didn't crash. And now everything crashes. So what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the problem a little bit and then what I consider to be the solution, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
No.
Okay, so anyway, the computer industry or whatever you want to call it, it produces the only product where the customer accepts failure as the norm.
As the default, yes.
As a default. I mean, I went to a conference and I held up my iPhone. I said, look at my updates here. It says, oh, we're updating this app because of a bug fix.
Yep.
Well, we're going to celebrate that?
That's
terrible.
It is.
The fact that we have that mindset, that has to change, okay?
Right.
And my solution will cause that mindset to change, okay?
Yeah.
But, okay, the second point here on the problem is the computer architecture is flawed. The architecture that I worked with back in the day used a concept called reentrant code. It meant that you could load your code anywhere on the computer without having to stop the operating system. You could update the operating system if you wanted to, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This business where you have to stop your computer, reboot it, and all of this, that's totally ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the fact that we're doing this is billions and billions of dollars that we're wasting in this industry because we don't have the correct architecture. And that's not you guys' fault. That's the fault of the industry, and I think it's the fault of the universities that promulgate this bull crap, and we need to get this architecture changed, okay?
Yep.
And the third part of this problem is there's no accountability. Mm-hmm. If you're a EE or a mechanical engineer, or a chemical engineer, everything that you create is peer-reviewed. It's out there for other engineers and other people to look at and comment on. Software, it's all a black box.
Yep.
Somebody writes something, and management says, "Oh, did you test it? Yeah, well, okay." You just can't visualize any problems with it, like you can a part. And when I worked at Pratt, I worked with the mechanical engineers. They're on a hook, and visually, you could see, they could see if they were having an issue with something. Okay,
right.
And you just don't see that with software. And that needs to be fixed, and I think that can be fixed. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this accountability issue—it just drives me nuts. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see that in the political sphere too. People are, this assassination attempt. Nobody wants to take responsibility for the failure there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's almost a mindset of people like, oh, I'm not responsible for anything anymore. Okay.
Yep.
So,
you're right.
So my solution is this. Okay, so, the first step is software must be liable for lawsuits just in the same manner as hardware products and services. You can sue Ford Motor Company, you can sue your doctor, you can sue Pfizer, but you cannot sue Microsoft.
Right, their warranty actually says, and the same with CrowdStrike, that their software is as is, and if it doesn't work or even operate as it's intended, we don't care. You can't sue
us. That has to change. If that would have been done years ago, like Microsoft with their Windows operating system, the government could have said to them, every time we get a blue screen, we're going to charge you $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That you wouldn't have any blue screens after a while. Okay,
we agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so that has to be done, but nothing's being. I don't know why, they think it's music or literature. Software's not music, it's not literature, okay?
No.
So that has to change, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the computer architecture, which is technical stuff, that has to change. It has to go to something like what we had, a virtual machine environment where you, when you load your operating system, it's loaded on top of the virtual machine. The virtual machine itself is a recursive concept. You can have a virtual machine loading on top of a virtual machine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the kernel of these operating systems has to be minimized so that it just provides the necessary function to implement whatever it is that, you know, whatever operating system you want to run on top of it.
You're right.
So that it's immune to attacks by, you know, viruses and things like that. I believe it's possible to make an operating system that is totally immune to viral attack. And that's the approach that I think that we got to take here.
Mm-hmm.
And it would help you guys out, but it would, I guess, as far as your show is concerned, you wouldn't have so many episodes devoted to all these screw-ups that are going on in the software industry.
I'm with you, Jack.
Yeah.
That would be refreshing, though. It'd be nice to know the planet's not falling apart. It's getting better.
Right.
It's falling apart.
I know.
And it's only going to get... It's like that woodpecker analogy that you use. That's what we've got. And mathematically, if you analyze chaos theory and all this, it's not... Even those AI things that you talked about demonstrate that convergence towards chaos. That's
right.
What's happening.
Yep.
And so somebody's got to step up. Is there somebody from the University of Connecticut? Hear me now. Don't hear me later. Get this problem fixed.
Mm.
It's an industry-wide situation, and it's got to be fixed.
We're agreeing with you there, Jack. Appreciate your input.
All right. Thank you.
You got it.
Yep.
So he's not wrong, right? So he has always been with the operating systems that we have, that they are, and again, Microsoft's especially. You know, CrowdStrike was writing to the kernel of the operating system.
Right.
They were given special permission to do that by Microsoft.
Right. It was doing that, and it was writing to a memory segment that didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So the operating system said, hey, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you're going?
Right.
I don't understand this. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, blue screen of death. Boom.
Right.
Yep.
Now, if the operating system had been written better,
right,
it might have detected this as activity that is invalid,
mm-hmm.
but it might have just said, all right, we're going to ignore that, and I'm going to move on to the next step.
Right, through an unrecoverable error. It was through an error so unrecoverable that you had to delete the file. And if you were BitLockered, you couldn't even get to the file.
Right. And at any rate, the operating system could have been built better to handle that situation, and it wasn't.
Right.
Because the operating system was written just to bail out under those conditions, when it's possible that somebody could have written the code to more intelligently handle the condition instead of just bailing out.
And to Jack's point, imagine if you have the operating system, the underlying operating system, be pretty much hardened, right? You're not writing to it. You can't do anything to it. That's what the Mac operating system kind of purports to be, right? It's more of a hardened operating system. And then on top of that system, you run your virtual sandbox or your virtual system so that if it does blow up, you just revert back to the one that was running prior. The actual software that's running on the system itself isn't touched. It's like, reboot me. I'll start over. That really would be a very simple way to recover from these types of things, but that's not what happened. This actually was touching the actual physical operating system on these systems. Blue screens of death pop up, and you're done.
Right.
So the approach is definitely flawed, obviously. You don't even need to be a computer scientist to look at this mess, 8.5 million systems. This is, what are we doing? And you know, Microsoft is being held accountable a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're supposed to be working on quality of their systems, security of their systems. But
we've heard that before too.
Yeah,
seriously. I mean, we've been down that road,
right?
You know, we're going to be more secure. We're going to have higher quality.
Right.
And 2 or 3 years later, we're back to where we were.
Right. We need to really segment these systems, sandbox these systems. You need the updates to not be instant. You need them to be batched and delayed. We do not need an instant update at the same time at 2 a.m. Thank you very much. We don't need it. Our systems worked fine at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're gonna not allow the updates to come through. So there needs to be a lot more done with this industry to get a better result. So we're here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get online. And we're happy to talk about your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. But I agree with Jack. We're not going the right direction. We really have a lot of work to do. And those warranties that are allowed to be like, there is no warranty. Why is that okay? Well, you want to know why it's okay? The people who are writing the laws are lawyers.
Right.
We love lawyers. They're fine people, but they are not IT people. But still, you don't even need to be an IT person to know that a warranty that says we don't have to have a warranty can't be allowed anymore if we're going to keep running all of our systems on this stuff. It needs to be more real. I'm afraid for the future. I really am. We're literally an update away from imagining 20% of the systems impacted. Microsoft could do an update tomorrow and blow away 20% of the operating systems. What would happen?
I can't even imagine.
Breathtaking. I mean, 1% was breathtaking. That would be just a disaster. Or maybe a North Korean will do an update on our systems. We'll see. So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Happy to help you out with the computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We do have a call coming in here that we're going to grab in a second. John in Bethel is there. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I have a Norton 360 running, and I have Windows, Microsoft, of course. And I also have Malwarebytes running. Now, I've been told that having them both running isn't optimal. Malwarebytes is coming up for renewal. Is that something I should renew or just get rid of, because Norton 360 seems to be doing the bulk of the lion's share, let's put it that way.
You do not want to have two different antiviruses running at the same time. As of maybe 10 years ago, Malwarebytes was just an on-demand scanner.
Yeah.
And it was possible to leave it installed along with some other antivirus, but that's not what it is anymore. It is it does have a background process. It does run, and it can interfere with Norton. It can cause different kinds of effects. It can even cause memory failures and all kinds of things. I mean, it's the potential for havoc is very high,
especially with both running.
Right. So I would uninstall one of them. And it sounds like you're leaning toward uninstalling Malwarebytes.
Yeah, that's because that's coming up next month for renewal.
Right.
And I think at that point, because I have, other things with Norton, LifeLock and whatever they have. So I don't want to get rid of that one.
All right. Yeah,
I would. I would get rid of one of them.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like you're going to get rid of Malwarebytes.
Yep.
Yeah, so at that point, that should probably help my computer a little bit, free up some more space and miscellaneous, right?
Not so much space, but it'll free up CPU cycles, definitely, and it will reduce the chances of some kind of weird problem, like a
memory
file
leak.
Interlock or a memory leak.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that can go on.
Yeah, there's been kind of weird things going on. That's why the phone call.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Uninstall it and see how things go.
Yeah, I just figured it was Microsoft. You know, you just
some things are not Microsoft's fault.
Right. No, so that's the thing. I don't blame you for blaming them, though.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, your basic premise is it's, what am I going to do? I'm running Microsoft. No, there are some good things about the operating system. It's been around for a long time. We're just disappointed in where we are. I mean, I am. I don't know about Dennis, but it's not where it should be. We played the video of Ballmer selling this thing to us, right? He sounded like he was selling a ShamWow at the Big E.
Are you following me, camera guy?
What is that?
That was from the ShamWow commercial.
Oh, I don't know. But I mean, that's what he said. That's the way it sounded. He was selling Microsoft operating system back in the early 80s. And it's like, oh, here we are. We bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Let's go to Marla in Torrington. What's happening, Marla?
Hi there, guys. I've spoken to you before, and you gave me great help. So I have another question for you.
All right.
I'm looking at I'm in the northwest corner, so I'm kind of having to use Optimum for my internet provider.
Okay.
And they are offering, like, I'm down to just paying for internet with them.
Nice.
But I see that they have their internet cost, but they also have a fiber sign-up bargain.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering, what is the difference between the internet that they charge one price and the fiber that is supposedly less expensive?
Yeah, so what you're running on now is copper. It's on a cable line, you know, big, thick, what is it, RG58 or something like that?
It's
a thick copper line running across the poles, right? And then down into your home. Fiber is going to be on a nice glass connection, right? They're trying to compete against mm-hmm. folks like GoNetSpeed and Frontier and all that. The beauty of fiber is it's kind of future-proof. You can go pretty much as fast as the network is going to be designed to go, whereas cable has a limit. Now, how many folks are in your home?
Me.
So if it's cheaper, you're going to save a few bucks, consider it.
Okay.
But
consider going fiber?
Yes, and look to see if there's an alternative like a GoNetSpeed, because often when companies are offering fiber, there's this because competition's coming right down the road.
I wish.
Yeah.
I've been rallying for GoNetSpeed in our area for a long time, and I guess not enough people are asking for it. But I have Verizon for my mobile provider, mm-hmm. and right now Optimum is making my head spin with their offers,
right?
Because now it looks like they're charging $80 for fiber internet, but if you get use their mobile phone fiber, then it goes down to like $50 or something. It's very confusing and annoying trying to sort out what is your best thing to go with.
Well, right. They want to hook you, right?
Right. And it sounds like they're trying to bundle you.
Right.
Because fiber and wireless service are two completely different things.
Yeah.
But what they want you to do is to get their fiber and then get a cell phone from them.
Right.
And then they'll drop the price.
Right. And then they'll crank it back up as the bundle goes. And then you're going to you'll be more sticky in that. You're not going to want to migrate to a different carrier. So it's the whole idea of kind of make you as sticky as they can make you. As far as I'm concerned, you just want a dumb internet connection. You don't want to pay for any bells and whistles. We saw a client who was getting some sort of managed Wi-Fi with their Comcast connection. Managed Wi-Fi? Well, you don't use their Wi-Fi. You use your own access points. So it's just cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. All you want is a dumb connection to your home from the internet provider. It's going to be whatever speed you want. What are you paying now for cable?
I was paying like $60, but I see it's now going to $78.
Right. Heading toward that $80 mark.
So I want to dumb that down.
Yes. So play the game.
I'm not using that much internet.
Correct. So play the game, Marla, and get the slowest fiber connection they offer. Because for just one person, you can get away with, you know, 200. It's going to be synchronous, which is nice. But you can get away with a 200 megabit or even 100 megabit connection for just yourself. So find out what the cheapest one they offer, and that's all you want. You just want that cheap fiber option, and then you're going to have maybe 3 years of a low price, and then coming down the line that you can then switch and try to keep that $25 to $50 range going. That's really the key, right?
Okay. So fiber is the preferred thing to have.
It is. Fiber is the preferred way to have it because it's future-proof. Now, you have Verizon, too. You can do wireless.
That's what I'm wondering, if I find a better deal through Verizon for internet and mobile phone.
Right.
Maybe that'll be cheaper.
It might. And it's just you. So there's home wireless service coming through Verizon, T-Mobile, and others where you can just get a wireless modem. And now, if somebody hits a telephone pole, you're still running.
Yeah.
And so those are about $50. So those work as well. So we have options now, finally.
Yes, which is nice.
Yep.
Can I ask you one other question?
Got just a few seconds left.
Okay. There's an online game that I play.
Yeah.
And whenever I try to write a message, whenever I hit the letter E, it brings up the emojis. It's like a shortcut, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When you I don't know how to get rid of that. I looked at the settings on my actual computer, but
no.
I'm wondering if it's in the game.
It's in the game. There's some function key that's depressed or some combination of keys that's producing that emoji within the game. It's the game's issue. So you'd want to go to the help area of that game and see if you can ask a question as to why that happens. It's not your computer.
Okay. No. Very good.
All right, Marla.
I thought it was the setting I could change.
No.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. All right, so Marla's going internet shopping. Always fun. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online through the news here. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're expecting to have Kyle Allspach from CRN to come on and talk about CrowdStrike isn't the only one to blame during that outage, and we agree. We'll be right back.